Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks so much for listening this week. We have John Oran from Sports Business Journal on to go through a lot of sports media news that's gone down in a couple of weeks here. NBC shutting down their cable sports network, WWE Network joining Peacock, NFL negotiations for their television stuff. Interesting stuff from John about Amazon and Thursday Night Football, especially. And Super Bowl rating talk with John as well. So stay tuned for that. Before we get to it, just want to tell you, Andrew Marchand and Armin Katayan, who was the executive producer on the HBO Tiger Woods documentary, were on the podcast 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Troy Aikman. Last week, Andrew Siciliano, Red Zone host and from NFL Network. So if you missed any of those podcasts, go into the archives, check those out, and please subscribe to the SI Media Podcast. Okay, let's get to it right now with John Oran from Sports Business Journal. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular from Sports Business Journal, John Oran. John, how's it going?
Great, Jimmy. Thanks for having me, man.
My pleasure. A lot of sports media news, I feel like, in the past couple of weeks to get into, and a lot of it on the business side. So, of course, there's nobody better than you to have on. Before we get into the sports business news, you must know about business, period. Can you give me a one-sentence summary of GameStop?
God, you know what? I've only seen the headlines. I haven't clicked through. I haven't been covering it. It seems
Are you a stock market guy?
I'm not a stock guy. Okay, no, I'm not a gambler. I'm not a stock guy, but okay. It's been all over my Twitter timeline today anyway.
Yeah, it's getting crazy and I know nothing about it.
Wait, are you dabbling in that, Jimmy?
No, I don't know. It would be impossible to know less about stocks than I know, or the stock market. It's not my thing at all.
The thing I love about stocks is that, the AMC, the theater chain, started going up. You know, when HBO said that they weren't gonna give them the movies early. You know, there's no rhyme or reason sometimes for why stocks go up. And then you saw the AMC, the cable company, its stock rise as well. Sometimes it just feels like a shell game.
Way over my head. But one thing that was not over my head when I saw the news broke Friday, I believe, about NBC shutting down NBC Sports, their cable channel. If you were paying attention, if you're in the business, more than anyone, you got the vibe that NBC was all about Peacock. I assume that's what this whole decision was about.
You know, it certainly was partly about Peacock. And I think that if you take a look at how Disney is approaching Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, take a look at CBS with Paramount Plus, all of the established media companies have decided that they want to jump into streaming with both feet, which I find kind of interesting because everybody's been waiting for Amazon or Google, when are they going to finally come in and grab these sports rights? Well, it turns out it's the traditional media companies that are doing it, and they're doing it through ESPN Plus and Peacock and Paramount Plus. But I really think that while that got the headlines, Peacock, they're moving a lot of sports over to USA, and there are going to be a lot of windows at USA. And I just feel like, we always talk about cord cutting and we talk, but this is like Comcast that's reimagining the bundle, and they're tightening up that bundle, and they're creating something in USA that's going to be a much more valuable than reruns of whatever Dick Wolf series they have on, it sets them up almost to be like TNT and to compete with TNT a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So when I look at it, that's a deal that is as much about the future of cable television as it is about streaming.
It did. It does seem more like a consolidation. I mean, if you think about it, what NBC, Comcast, they have USA, CNBC, MSNBC, USA. Then they had NBC Sports. I think there's another NBC owned TV channel in there. Is it Sci-Fi that they own?
Sci-Fi they have. They have E Entertainment.
How many channels do you need to own? I guess so. I think I was thinking about it too, and I don't want this to sound like I'm knocking anyone, but out of all of the secondary sports cable networks. I mean, I think I may have watched NBC Sports Network a combined 5 minutes in my entire life because I don't watch hockey. So I don't know. I remember there was one night when I think Barack Obama was giving a press conference and they bumped Sunday Night Football to NBC Sports. I didn't even know what channel it was. I remember asking on Twitter. So I don't know if you didn't, you know, if you're not a hockey person, what was there for you that was sustaining this network, you know, even like in the off season, you know, I saw that they had moved Rich Eisen to Peacock. I guess Pro Football Talk got moved to Peacock. So this wasn't a complete shocker.
Yeah. Not only that, but they ran into a problem with Notre Dame football this past season. And they had to move Notre Dame football to one of its cable channels, and they bypassed NBC Sports Network in order to go to USA. And, yeah. and that really told the tale that we weren't NBC Sports Network wasn't long for this world.
Yeah. It seemed like from what I saw on Twitter that day, I guess USA is in like what, 5 million more homes than NBC Sports Network.
Yeah,
was.
I think basically like about 6 million. USA is in 86 million and NBCSN is in about 80 million. Yeah. That's not really that big of a difference to really matter.
The biggest bummer about it, you know, is if, you know, people losing jobs is obviously just, you know, not great in this pandemic. It's not great anytime, but you know, that to me is the worst part about all this. I think if you're a sports fan, you'll be just served on other networks and streaming services. So you'll be fine from that standpoint.
Yeah. If you want to go through winners and losers, I mean, the losers out of this are the small niche sports. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of like, you know, fishing shows or a lot of like sort of like car shows or some non-NASCAR auto racing shows that now don't have a TV distribution and are going to streaming, to where people like you and I that aren't that wouldn't be watching it, we're not going to just happen to discover it because we happen upon it. I mean, you have to want, when they're being streamed, you have to want to see that and go see it.
Right. Now, the other big angle here with Peacock is that they paid WWE $1 billion to basically become the home of the WWE network. And I have to say, I got a lot of texts from people who were freaked out by this because they didn't understand how it would work. And I explained to them everything's just the same, except instead of tapping on your WWE network icon on your phone or iPad, you're going to have to go to Peacock and get it there. And it's actually, if you don't mind ads, you're going to get it for half price, because WWE Network is $9.99 a month. With Peacock, you can get it for $5 a month with ads and $10 a month without the ads. So if you don't mind the ads, you actually get a little break on this. But and I'm asking a very long question, which is very bad to do when you're an interviewer. But the WWE and Vince McMahon were so ahead of their time when they launched WWE Network. They seem to be a little bit ahead of their time here, getting out of their own streaming business and partnering up or bundling up, for lack of a better expression. Is that the right take?
Yeah, I think that's a legit take. I have an awful take on this, Jimmy, that I hate to say, but
say it.
It's a win-win. It really is. I think that both NBC comes out. Yeah, I want to say, hey, this one company got over. I would love to say WWE Network was a failure and this is a lifeline, but it wasn't. If you're a WWE fan, like you said, you're going to be able to get the exact same programming at half price. And if you happen to be a WWE fan that's also a Comcast or a Cox subscriber, you get it for free. I mean, it's a great deal for them. For NBC, they get the whole point of Peacock, the whole point of these streaming services is they're going to bring in these wrestling fans. I don't know off the top of my head, what was WWE Network at? Like
for the price? Oh, the subscribers?
Yeah.
I think it was around, I'll look it up. I shouldn't guess, but because if I'm going to be way wrong about it, I know they had really, really peaked for a long time. I want to say 10 million, but I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me. I'm going to look it up.
So if you're Peacock, you're getting,
I'm way off on that. Paid subscribers, 1.6 million.
1.6. Yeah, yeah. I thought 10 sounded high, but I can say that now after the fact. But you're getting 1.6, not just 1.6 people that you wouldn't have normally, 1.6 rabid fans that are going to come in. And one of the things Peacock says is that like once they come in, you know, they're coming in to watch whatever they're going to watch for the WWE Network. Then they're going to sample The Office, or they're going to sample, you know, like whatever else Peacock has to offer. So right. It works really, really well for Peacock. And for WWE, they launched WWE Network. It increased, but the number of subscribers plateaued. They were having a really hard right. time trying to grow that. And so this is a way to say, we're not going to sit over a business that is not making more money. Instead, we're going to basically sit on our butts, sell it to NBC and rake in $1 billion. So for WWE, they become a content farm, and it works out pretty well.
I guess the inside baseball, this, that I, you know, they would, the WWE Network produced a lot of original programming. I guess they will still do that and treat it. I guess they have to have some sort of deal with NBC/Peacock, Comcast about, I mean, they can't just leave it as is and wash their hands of it, right? They have to still keep producing more content for it.
Yeah, they're going to essentially become a production company. So it's going to be live events, and it's going to be a lot of the, I didn't watch WWE Network, but I gather yeah. they were like documentary types.
Yep. And that's the stuff that I think does better than anything is the, they really do a good job with it. And they've churned out a lot of really good documentaries and fairly regularly. So that's what I'm curious about, that production schedule, now that, you know, it's not their content.
Yeah, I think that right now the expectation that Peacock has and WWE is that's going to continue sort of as is. It's not going to really change considerably.
I think it's a brilliant move by WWE. I mean, you know, I'm a huge, huge Office fan. But, you know, I thought about it. I'm like, I'm not going to subscribe to Peacock just so I can watch The Office. It's on Comedy Central 24 hours a day, basically. But now you throw the WWE Network in the mix, and you're like, okay, well, now they got this, they got that. You know, who knows what they're going to do if... How long off are we until you think they put a game exclusively only, a Notre Dame game exclusively on Peacock? You think that'll ever happen?
I think we're pretty close to that point. I think that, you know, look, the NFL put in a game exclusively on Amazon Prime this past season, and it wasn't the lowest viewed game of the season. It was the second lowest viewed, but it's sort of down there.
Right.
I think one of the problems that that leagues have in particular is like, take a look at the I don't know if you were on Twitter on Saturday night, but the UFC pay-per-view.
I was not. I know that there were issues with the stream and people were wanting refunds, but I don't know the specifics and the details of it.
Yeah, they got like a couple million viewers buys, and there were just a lot of people. And I don't know if this is good or not, but if we're talking about, you know, for the NFC Championship last year, there were 46 million people. Like, can these streams handle that kind of crush?
So was that the issue with them Saturday night? Was a bandwidth issue? Not a technical?
I don't know. Nobody knows. Yeah, I think that's the question, though. Nobody quite knows. But
because remember at the beginning of the Chiefs-Browns game, the CBS feed went out for the beginning of that game a little bit. So that's a technical issue. If ESPN doesn't have bandwidth to handle all the people buying a fight, that's a big problem.
Well, it is. But there's also, for broadcast, that was a technical issue. People were outraged. Like, that's television. You don't have those kind of glitches in television. If people were streaming that, they would have expected it. It's almost like assumed that they're going to do it. Yeah. And then everybody is trying to go whole hog into sports gambling. And the latency with streaming. I mean, if you're 30 seconds behind or a minute behind, I mean, that really affects, you know, what they want to do in terms of interactivity and streaming.
How long was that UFC feed? Was it down for a certain period of time, or was it just everyone experiencing something different in terms of the stream being out?
I think it was people experiencing different things. To be honest, I bought it, and I had no problem with it. None of my friends seemed to have a problem with it, but I just went online and saw that there were a lot of people that were, you know, they bought it and it just didn't come up. So the feed itself wasn't down. It was just different people having problems, which is another problem with streaming. Like, you know, I might be fine in my house. The guy next door might be having a problem. Like, is it internet that's having a problem, or the feed, or nobody knows.
I will say, since you mentioned it and you brought it up, that Saturday NFL game that was Amazon only, which was the Arizona Cardinals against the Niners, I believe they played.
Yeah,
that
the
day.
Niners, exactly. Yeah,
I was very, very, very impressed with how it. I mean, it looked like a regular CBS broadcast. I hate watching a game that way. I do not want to stream a game. I want to be able to flip the channels. I want to be able to rewind, fast forward, all that junk. So I hate watching the game via streaming. But in terms of how it looked in the presentation, you would have thought it was a Sunday afternoon CBS game.
Yeah, see, I think you're being so forgiving. I actually kind of killed it afterwards because it's Amazon's one and only game
right.
that they had. And to me, it didn't look like a CBS game. It looked like CBS is sort of like regional, number five regional game that went to like 5% of the country.
I agree with you. I'm talking about the way the picture looked, the quality of the picture, the whether the stream went out, all of that is what I meant. Yeah, it was what you just said is 100% dead on. It was like the, you know, third CBS 425 game on a Sunday that, you know, Andrew Catalan or Spiroditas is calling. There's, you know, not the Nance and Romo.
I just really expected for Amazon's only game. This is our only exclusive game that it was going to be. They would do what Monday Night Football does every week.
So your issue is more with Amazon's production of it than, right, the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I guess, I don't know. I wonder what the thinking there was for, I mean, well, I was going to ask you this. I was going to do Super Bowl and then get into it, but I might as well get into it now. Is there any sort of update? I mean, if anyone is listening to this podcast right now, my bet is they're an NFL fan and they want to know what the future is. I discuss it all the time, but it seems like we're getting closer and closer to getting some clarity. Is there any scenario you think where there's a streaming, you know, Amazon gets something exclusive or we're still not there?
I think that there's a very good chance that Amazon ends up with the Thursday night package. I think that it's going to be a Thursday night package that's going to look a lot different than the current ones. I mean, think of it like if Jacksonville can play itself, like that would be that would be the game. So it's, you're not going to see sort of really high quality games, and most of the games almost certainly are going to be. Are going to be on NFL Network as well. So you'll be able to.
So not exclusive. Okay.
Well, it can't because NFL Network has to have a certain number of games and that's they're not going to get them out of the.
Right. If it's on NFL Network, then I don't care. That's fine. Because it's been on Amazon for Thursday nights, I think, for a few years now.
For a few years. Yeah. And I think that they might end up with a few more exclusive games than not. But
do we know why CBS and Fox don't want the Thursday night package?
It costs too much money, and it's the one package that they just don't, they haven't been able to make any money off of. I think they dislike the package because the NFL makes all the broadcasters share it with NFL Network, and then they make them share it with Amazon. And that not just Amazon, but Twitch. So all of a sudden, like it's not exclusive to CBS or NBC or Fox.
Right.
And so that cuts into a lot of the ratings, and all of these networks are trying to push their own streaming services as well. And you know, the idea that they can't stream their own games and
interesting.
They lose. It becomes just a TV only thing. And they can't sell enough ads to cover the rights fee.
Right, because I'm thinking to myself, why don't ESPN or Turner get in the mix for the Thursday night game? But that's interesting because if ESPN had the Thursday night game, they can't stream it on ESPN's web on ESPN's app. You got to go to Amazon for it. So that's did not realize that. That's
yeah, why doesn't ESPN or Turner they're not going to share. The right. See, it's okay with a broadcaster to share it with a cable network,
right.
But it's a non-starter to have a cable network share it with another cable network. So yeah. What's the reason for having it?
Yeah. Do you have any sort of timetable on when we'll know what the NFL future contract situation is? I mean, we've heard for months they're working on deals. Do we know? Is there an end game in sight?
I know that they were pushing hard for it to be done by the Super Bowl. I'm skeptical that it'll be done there. Everybody I'm talking to says that, you know, stuff that everybody's been reporting for the past couple of months is, you know, that there aren't really any big surprises there. All the main players are going to stick around and kind of keep what they have. The only new wrinkle is what happens with Thursday night, because Fox doesn't want it, NBC doesn't want it, CBS doesn't want it.
So if we made it, we established earlier, you're not a betting man, but if you were, you think CBS keeps Sunday afternoon AFC, Fox keeps Sunday afternoon NFC, and NBC keeps Sunday night football.
Yeah, I would bet a lot of money on that.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm not, and I don't bet.
Yeah, yeah. And then Thursday night, the big show. All right. That you know, people don't like change. So at least that's minimal change. People will be okay with that. Fascinates me that, you know, there's still nothing on television that gets ratings like the NFL. And that game, that Thursday night game, loses money for CBS and Fox, costs too much money for CBS.
Well, the top rated show, the top rated primetime show for, like, I think, 10 years, for the last decade, is Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Well, the second is Thursday Night Football. It's like, why can't they make money off of it? And it's just because it gets diluted too much.
And God forbid the NFL lowers its price for it, because, you know.
The NFL will never be in a position where they accept right. less money for a package that they have.
But listen, you're the NFL. You have your own network. I mean, put the games on there and build it. You know, I think, you know, put all this every single week, Thursday night, on NFL and use your network. I mean,
But we just got finished talking about NBC Sports Network. I mean, look, cord cutting is happening. And so do you want to sort of try to build up something that's losing subscribers?
It seems that cord cutting is like, it's almost like it's, I feel like it's even speeding up more than we imagine.
I think I was really curious to see what was going to happen going into the pandemic, because every other economic downturn, I've been doing this for too long, but, like, you know, back in 2008, 2009, and then back in 2000, the dot-com bust, cable subscriptions went through the roof. They took off, and it was because people were stuck at home. They wanted to save money. And what better way to save money? Do you want to go out to a movie theater and blow whatever? Or do you want to just pay, you know, 50, 60 bucks a month for cable? But then you had so with this economic downturn, you had that in history, but you also had a competing trend, which was the cord cutting trend. It was like, what's going to take off? Well, you know, Netflix and all these streaming services did take off, but, you know, cord cutting, you know, it really did continue. I guess it slowed down a little bit, but it's not nearly enough.
So back to tie this in with WWE Network, do you see a situation where there is a condensing of all of these streaming services? Will people follow WWE, think, and give up on, you know, maybe doing their own thing and then folding in with the bigger, you know, you have Apple TV out there now, and, you know, you have your Prime and your Netflix. Could you see a scenario where, I don't know, Sirius gives up on doing their own thing and partners with Amazon or something like that? Is WWE the start of it or no?
Yeah, I mean, the buzzword is always consolidation, and right now everybody is out there with their own product, and nobody's going to be buying all of it. And you know, I could conceive somebody is a Champions League fan, so they'll buy Paramount Plus to get the Champions League for those months, and even for those days. Like, who knows, like, how they'll do it and then churn out. So at some point there's got to be, when that's going to happen, I don't know. We're at the sort of beginning stages where everybody thinks it's a, you know, a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow.
I still like my cable TV.
I love cable. Like, I think we're old guys here, but it's like, I can just sit down. I don't have to hunt and peck for it. And,
well, my thing too is, anytime I try to watch something on a streaming service, it's on something I don't have. You know, I have Netflix and I have Prime and I have HBO Max, and I thought I had Apple TV, and then I went to watch something on Apple TV and it said my subscription had run out. And I'm just like, it never fails. Like, this is always the way it works, basically. Super Bowl coming up. First off, I thought 7% drop regular season for NFL was nothing to be concerned about because of the pandemic and the election. What do you make of the 7% regular season drop? Any cause for concern for the NFL?
No, I think that was I'm not understating this. That was a great result for the NFL.
Yeah.
You had the pandemic, you had the election. You also had all of a sudden NFL games going against NBA playoffs, going against MLB. Well, it always goes against MLB playoffs, but the Stanley Cup playoffs, horse racing, golf majors. This has never happened before.
Right.
And
right,
what it showed me is how powerful the NFL is, because it hurt those other sports so much more than it hurt the NFL. It's just a machine
that's out there. And then the wild card was down 25%, but that's because they added a third game, obviously. And that and then divisional round, I think, was down 7% like the regular season. And then they finally got the increase for Sunday's title games, AFC and NFC. I think you're going to see last year's Super Bowl was 99 million viewers for Chiefs Niners. I think they're going to get around 103 million. I think they're going to see a big increase because of Brady and Mahomes. The one thing I would ask you, because you would know this better than anyone, how does the pandemic, let's say, listen, this country is filled with stupid people, if we have seen over the last year, but let's say a decent amount of people decide to do the right thing and not have like Super Bowl parties with 50 people and bars are not open and all that. How does that affect the rating?
Probably not a ton. I mean, remember, okay, it's just like a small survey of people that happened to have a Nielsen box that are watching. I'm a little more pessimistic about the Super Bowl than you are. I just think like the Super Bowl is such an event, and you have Super Bowl week where when you turn on ESPN, they're all there, and FS1 and, you know, some of the network news shows go down there. Tampa is going to be empty ghost town. And so like, if you're thinking about trying to market the Super Bowl, you know, you're not marketing this big event. You're just marketing another football game. And it's going to be a football game because we're sports fans that we're interested in Brady against Mahomes. But I'm a little bit,
you think the lack of hype going in because there's no media down there to, you know, talk about it for 2 weeks, that hurts the rating. That's okay.
Football fans and sports fans are going to watch it, but the Super Bowl gets those numbers because it draws in the casual viewers and they don't want to miss the big event.
Well, you're 100% right. That's why I think the Brady angle can bring in a lot of fringe fans. I don't know. Now, listen, we've seen in the past, I don't know what it's been, 2, 3, 4 years, even maybe even more than that, because I think it went back to the Madonna Super Bowl as well, where more people watch halftime than the game. Don't know if that's going to be the case with the weekend. You know, we've had in recent years, Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Bruno Mars. I don't know if I could be old and out of it. I don't think the weekend is on the level of them. So maybe that hurts the number a little bit, because like I said, more people have been watching halftime than the game the last few years. The J-Lo Shakira one last year, I think did a huge number. But
Jimmy, this isn't why you have me on, but like, what's a line? It's 3.
Yes.
I mean, who are you taking? Is this a certain for you or deadlock? Well,
I'm torn on this one because my own personal belief system and rules are that I never ever put money against Tom Brady, not a financially wise decision. But I think the Chiefs are too good. And the Chiefs, when they try, are unstoppable. I think, you know, we saw them for a couple of months basically going through the motions. I think they even went through the motions in the first 5 minutes against the Bills. And then when they decided, like, you know, let's get serious here, you cannot stop that team. So I hate betting against Tom Brady. I won't enjoy the game because of it, but I would probably bet the Chiefs.
Yeah, again, I don't gamble at all. It seems like a mortal lock. The Chiefs are just a better team, right?
You can't say that when Tom Brady's standing on the other side.
Yeah, however old he is.
He's still better than every other quarterback in the NFL, except for Mahomes, probably. Listen, if you said to me, the Super Bowl is tomorrow, who do you want your quarterback to be? My answer would be Mahomes. If you said the Super Bowl is tomorrow, you can't pick Mahomes, who do you want your quarterback to be? I'd pick Brady. Ugh. So, you know, it's a tough one. I read a lot. You cover this. I'm just curious. I read a lot about a lot of brands are not running commercials this year during the Super Bowl. I think I read Budweiser do I have that right? Budweiser is not going to run a commercial.
Yeah, a lot of brands have pulled out. I think that the brands don't know right now how to market their stuff, and should they be funny or should they be, you know, I mean, aren't you tired of like the brands coming out with the slow music and saying like, we're all in this together. And I just think that
in these unprecedented times.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of them it always amazes me. I call it the USA Today ad meter, although I suspect everybody does it. they care so deeply about that. Like that, that what that says matters to them. And I don't think that they want to take a risk given where we are with the pandemic and the economy and everything, that they want to sort of hold back on that one.
Yeah, I was wondering how much fear, you know, I would assume a lot of this is money. You know, companies took a big hit this year. Maybe they don't, you know, nothing costs more than a Super Bowl commercial. Maybe they didn't want to break the bank for it. And then I wonder how much of this is like fear of running a commercial that comes off as either tone deaf or insensitive, or, you know, because, you know, that's always a possibility.
Oh, and it's then, totally a possibility. Yeah.
I think you wrote about this today, and the amount of people who care about this are very limited, but I do find it amusing that if you're someone who watches NBA, NHL, MLB on Fox Sports stations across the country, not Fox, actual Fox that shows The Simpsons, and not FS1, but like the Fox cables, sports cable channels, they're now going to be called Bally Sports Network. As you said, the gambling world is here and making an impact already. That is, I cannot believe we're going to have sports networks named after casinos.
And couldn't they have picked a better name than that?
It's a terrible name.
As somebody that went to elementary school called Blessed Sacrament, I've been living with BS. As a, you know, you went to BS. Yeah. Like, come on, guys, you can think about it. But this is Sinclair has said from the moment that they picked up those RSNs that they think that there's a really big revenue opportunity as sports gambling gets legalized across the country. And I think that what you're going to see is like this, you know, partnership between Bally's and Sinclair to have apps and to have, you know, interactivity. And it's just going to lead to betting on whether next pitch is a strike or a ball eventually.
Oh yeah, that's coming for sure. And, you know, I'd be able to get more into following all of it if we had it here in New York, but the fact that we don't have it in New York is still mind boggling to me. But once that opens up the floodgates, that'll be interesting for sure.
Just don't connect it to your credit card, Jimmy.
That ship has sailed a long time ago with offshore sites. Last thing here before I let you go, we haven't really talked the entire time about ESPN, which is interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
Usually they're at the forefront of all sports media conversations. It was a really good article, I thought, in the Washington Post this week by Ben Strauss on Bomani Jones. I don't know if you saw it. It does feel like ESPN is at some sort of crossroads. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're trying to figure out what to, you know, if the hot take shows still work. They obviously have, they don't have financial issues. That's a dumb statement. But they're being tighter with their money, as you saw with them letting Tom Rinaldi go to Fox, which was strictly a money deal, basically, of why he left. What is like sort of the state of the union there at the worldwide network right now?
Well, I think the main thing about ESPN is since Jimmy Pitaro took over, well, to back up, you know, John Skipper is so big on editorial, and he really built up, you know, with John Walsh and everybody else, he built up ESPN.com and he built up the magazine and he built up this editorial presence. And that editorial presence, it served ESPN well for a while. But as you know, you're an editorial, I'm an editorial. It's not a great business. It's, we go through layoffs seemingly, you know, every year.
Couple of years.
Yeah. We circle through. Jimmy Pitaro is coming in here. You know, if you talk to him, he'll still point to a lot of, you know, high priced editorial talent that they have. He can point to a lot of like award winning stories that they put out, and it's all true. But they're much more focused on spending the money to get the NFL or spending the money to get college football. People go to ESPN to watch live sports and the, you know, the shows that lead up to it, you know, they work for ESPN, but they're not as important to ESPN and to Disney as the Monday Night Football game or as the college football playoff game. And so it's just kind of like, I don't think that they're turning their back on journalism. I just think that they are focusing much more on live events than they used to, which might seem like I'm splitting hairs, but
I think what you say makes sense. I wonder if they they would never say this, but I wonder if they regret the college football deal a little bit, because they paid an enormous amount of money. And I know it's, you know, content and scale, all these games every, you know, they air like 500 games every weekend, basically. But in terms of the title game, and I know it gets a decent number, but for what they're paying for it, now listen, maybe I'm reacting to the fact that this was a complete and utter joke of a college football season. The rating for the title game bared that out. I mean, the season was an embarrassment on so many levels. So I'm not shocked that the title game got a bad rating. But they are paying a lot of money for that college football package, a lot.
Yeah, but if you talk to ESPN executives, and I think I agree with them too, like they are, you know, college sports are in their DNA. And so like they want to own college sports. And so you have Fox is coming in and they, you know, they have part of the Big Ten and the Big 12 or whatever, and they're trying to make inroads. But like, you know, if you think of college sports, you're thinking of ESPN.
No doubt.
And if you look at television ratings as a whole, you have the NFL, then you have college football, and then right. You have everything else. So like right. College football is very, very important to ESPN. And I think that they think that they have a, not quite a steal, but that the CFP is pretty affordable for them.
I thought the they're paying a ton for that SEC package from CBS, which still doesn't get started for a couple of years. I mean, that I think will be good for them. I was surprised. I heard more than I expected, though, from a lot of people about. I was turned off from the college football just because of the way the season went. A lot of people turned up. They didn't want to see. They don't want to see Alabama and Clemson anymore.
Yeah.
Now, from the standpoint or Alabama, Ohio State. Now, listen. You have the aspect of the fact that from a rating standpoint, Alabama and Ohio State are going to do better than any team you put in there. But then you have, there are these fans who are, I think the fans who are sick of it still watch it, but I don't know, maybe not.
Yes, because the rating I never buy that. I'm sick of the teams. People know the teams. They know Nick Saban. They want to see him on the sideline. He becomes sort of almost a villain if you're sick of him. It brings in the casual fan. It's the same people that said they were sick of the Patriots. Right. I was sick of the Patriots, but it got me to watch because it was Brady, Belichick, and you know all those people.
Yeah, I think people say they're sick of it, but they watch it. I think the reason the rating was lower than it's been in ages is just because the season was, you know, not like a real, you know, it was a fake season basically for all intents.
Yeah, it was a couple of exhibition games almost.
Yeah. That's what I appreciate you. Yeah, definitely. Appreciate you coming on and giving us some info. Good stuff here from my listeners. And let's both go read up on GameStop here so we can figure out what's going on in the world.
I know. You asked me the first question. I had no clue. I don't know.
I figure, you know, business, it's sort of in your GameStop. I don't know. Is there a sports connection there? I don't play video games. I don't play video games and I don't know stock. So it's a bad story for me.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. Come on anytime.
Anytime. Appreciate it. Take care. Stay safe. All right. My thanks to John Oran. Good stuff there. Interesting on the NFL. Looks like everything will stay the same here with the TV stuff, except Amazon NFL Network splitting Thursday Night Football. That's the word from John. So that's the big takeaway here. So I appreciate him coming on, giving us that info. If you miss any recent episodes of the SI Media Podcast, check them out in the archives. Andrew Siciliano from the Red Zone Channel and NFL Network was on last week. 2 weeks ago, Troy Aikman. 3 weeks ago, Andrew Marchand and Armin Tayan on that Tiger Woods documentary. So if you missed any of those, listen to them and then give the pod a subscription. It will be greatly appreciated. All right. That wraps up this week. We will see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.